smothering death, it speaks to you, right? So therefore they develop a certain closeness, which is kavod, right? Of course, that is contrary to Nero. The more familiar you are with your mother, the less you are going to fear her. This is why the Torah has to say the fear of the mother first. This is what Rashi says. Now, the question is the following. Whenever the Torah tells you something, right, it has to be a lesson. Either it's a lesson in behavior, or how you're supposed to think, or how you're supposed to feel, right? Or what you're supposed to do. There has to be a halachic reason for why the Torah said something or other. Fine. Now that the Torah puts the mother first in Europe, so what do we learn now? What does it change?
You don't change yourself, your natural tendencies.
So you have to change your natural tendencies. In other words, what the Torah is telling me is, your natural tendencies are wrong. You shouldn't fear your father more than your mother. True?
Yeah. It's trying to find a balance.
To equalize them. Yeah, yeah. You know, the Torah's right. So you are saying that what Rashi means to say is that the Torah, by changing the order, is trying to balance what by nature is unbalanced. So would you conclude then that the Torah is telling you, listen to this, no, it's wrong to fear your father more than your mother. You should fear both the same. Is that a correct?
Yeah,
no?
Probably not.
So what else can it mean then?
Yeah. It means that you should still fear the opposite one. If you still fear your mother, you might think that naturally you fear your father and not your mother. Maybe you shouldn't fear your mother at all. But by putting an emphasis on it, there's a natural disbalance, and the disbalance is natural. It can remain.
Okay. What you are saying is, if the Torah wouldn't have said first the mother, right, then a person, you are saying, would take lightly the fear of the mother. For instance, a person would sit in her chair, if she minds, of course you're talking, oh, good. Ridiculous, of course he wouldn't sit in her chair. The Torah would still be mentioning your mother. What difference would it make? Right? Do you know what I'm saying? If you can tell me, if the Torah would have put the father first, then I would say, well, my mother said that's not so important. What do you mean it's not important? She's still in the puzzle. Right? So what if she's not mentioned first? How does it change my behavior? So what is the only possible conclusion? A ridiculous, absurd conclusion. That the Torah is telling me, no, not only that, you actually have to feel the same fear of your mother and of your father. But what else can we say? Somehow, the Torah is not trying to balance the act. The acts are clear-cut. Don't contradict them, right? Don't sit in their chair, right? Don't do anything bad to them. It's, of course, it's the same, the father and the mother. So if the Torah is trying to equalize, it's trying to equalize the right? But there's something... If the Torah actually saying you must fear your mother like you fear your father, what would be the purpose of it? But here's the difficulty. Right? Now, listen to this Rambam. This Rambam is, again, in Hilchos Mamre, Perek Vov, but here this is Halacha Zayin. Ad Heichon Moiron, what are the limits of the obligation of fear? Okay? But he starts, let me start from the beginning. Ad Heichon Kvodo, what are the limits? So, it says like this. Again, so I'm going to Ad Heichon Moiron, how far I should go. Afilu hoyo loives begodim chamudoi.
To whom?
The son. Now, how far does it go? You are wearing your best suit. The yoshei berosh bifnei hakol. And you are invited to a big gathering and you are the guest of honor.
Right.
Ubo ovi ve'imoy, and either your father or your mother come. Ve'kol b'godo, they go over to you and they start tearing your beautiful suit in front of all these hundreds of people. Ve'kol b'roish, and start beating you over the head. Ve'yorku b'fonov, and they spit on you. Lo yachlimen, don't react. Elo yishtoy, keep quiet. Listen carefully. Ve'yiro ve'yifachei min melech malchei amlochim shetivol b'kach. And fear God. Now, if you're used to the reading the Rambam, every once in a while will tell you a Musar idea. In other words, an idea of in the values, certain morality ideas, moral ideas. But this is a halacha. What is he telling? Is he telling advice? I find this very, very difficult. If the Rambam is describing what you're supposed to feel, right, the Rambam should have said, and you should fear your father or your mother, whoever is hitting you and spitting in you and embarrassing you. The Torah says, fear your mother or your father. So therefore, fear the person. The Torah tells you. Why does the Rambam ignore the fear of your father? I mean, that's what he should be saying. Shouldn't he be saying that? If he's there, right, and he's hitting you, right? If he's hitting you, the Torah says you should fear it. So you have to fear it.
So because of the fear of Hashem, we have to fear it.
What? So you should say it. Because the Torah told you to fear your parents.
No, but we said that this is the link to the past. Yeah. You said that you're linked to the past.
The same thing, that fear of your parents is really only an end to fear.
All right, okay. All right, okay. But one thing is 100% clear. That what the Rambam is saying here, that there is no mitzvah to fear your parents. Yeah? There is no mitzvah to fear your parents at all.
They're outside the Torah and what they're doing?
No, no. You're just... Even the best parents, the biggest tzaddikim, you have no obligation to fear them. What do you mean? But it says in the Torah, we just read the Torah, right? Ish oviv imoy veoviv tiro, says the Rambam. You know what it means? Ish oviv imoy tiro. Act as if you fear them. What about the feeling? What am I supposed to feel in my heart? Fear? Yes, of God. You know what the Rambam says? Therefore, what makes me do all these things, right, what makes me control myself, right, don't sit in her chair, don't react against them, don't say anything bad against them, don't contradict them, right, is not my fear of the person, but my fear of God. That's what the Rambam says.
Sometimes it coincides like you're a father, sometimes you do fear him.
Not at all, not at all. You'll see right away. Meaning, but you hear clearly that's what the Rambam is saying, which means like, the acts are towards your father, right? The feelings are towards God. That's what the Rambam says. You act to your father and your feelings are towards God. That's what the Rambam says. Very hard. Says the Keset Mishnah, the Radvaz, and the Lechem Mishnah, they all bring down the source for the Rambam, right? And there is a source for what he said in the beginning, right? And they don't bring down a source for the last part. The beginning, yes. Meaning the part that he says, don't react against them, that he says in the Gemara. But that extra addition that the Rambam made, right? What he says, and you should feel the fear of God in your heart, right? We have no source for that. Let me read the Radvaz. How does Rambam know that? From the Gemara that says, Rav Dini, Va'amacha Toyulohu Sirkon, Rav Dini, a great rabbi once was wearing very expensive clothes. V'hoyoyoy said, the Gdoyle Roma, and he was in Rome among very important people. Ubo saw him and his mother came and tore his clothes, and Tov Koloyarin hit him on the head, V'yorkolo Defono, exactly the Lashon Rambam. V'loy Ichlimo, and he did not react. In the first part of the Rambam, we have an exact source. We have no source for the Rambam for the second part.
Where's that microphone?
This is Gemara, for the Gemara. The Gemara. Right. The Gemara in Kedushin, Omar Rabbi. The Gemara says, Kiyot Rabbi. But the second part has no source. I mean, it's not unusual. Sometimes the Rambam does add something on his own. But if you really think about it, where is it mentioned in the Gemara that you are supposed to go against your natural fear of your father. Meaning like this. Right here. Except that the Rambam had a different way of learning it. When the Rambam saw that the Gemara said, why does the Torah mention the mother first? Because by nature you have a natural fear of your father, comes the Torah and tells you, you should equalize your fear of your father and your mother. So, in order to equalize the fear of your father and your mother, there are two ways of doing it. Either you raise the fear of your mother, or there's another way. What? Forget about your natural fears altogether. You're not supposed to fear your parents. What?
Increase your fear of your father.
Exactly. That's what the Torah is telling you. Don't be afraid of your parents. But, so the Rambam has the right to add, or doesn't he? So what does it mean, Kiro, you should fear? God, that's what the process means. Each emo is the Oviva person. When he acts in front of his father and his mother, he should act Kiro with fear of God. That's how the Rambam learns the process. How does the Rambam know it? By the fact that the mother is mentioned first, so you see that the Torah is going against your natural instinct.
Like in the Torah, yeah.
Oh, so that's Rashi, the first Rashi mentioned, right? Kiro, that includes a daughter, but not all the time, right? That's something else. That's what Rashi said.
So how will the process come?
Right. So according to the Rambam, Ish imoy ve'ovi, Kiro learns the Rambam. You shall act as if you fear them, and really fear only God. Where is it hinted to? In the fact that the mother is mentioned first. Because if it's the fear is actually towards your parents, the father should be mentioned first. So you see by the fact that the Torah changed the order, that it's not the natural fear of your parents that you are supposed to feel. And if I saw in one of the Mefarshim, the Ksav Sofer says like this, unrelated to all what we are saying, but the idea is exactly the same. He is bothered by the word Ish. Ish imoy ve'ovi tiro. What doesn't he say? Imoy ve'ovi tiro. Who needs the Ish for? So fine, we learn out certain things, but in simple pshat, you know what the word Ish always means? A grown-up person, right? And what is the Torah telling you, says the Ksav Sofer? Even though you are an Ish, and once you are grown up, you don't really fear your parents anymore, right? Still, imoy ve'ovi tiro. A child sees his parents, that's natural. But Ish, obviously imoy tiro. So I'm putting together the Rambam and the Ksav Sofer, and I say like this. Ish, when you reach a point of Ish, you're an independent human being. You're not really scared of your parents anymore, right? You can develop artificial fear for your parents. Still, Kiro of whom? Of God. Here. If you're a child, then Kiro can mean natural fear. But you're an Ish, you have no natural fear. So where is the natural fear? For God. That's how the Rambam learns it from. Now, there is another very great difficulty that the Mefarshim mention it in the second part of the pasuk. It's a Feisai Tishmoiru. Take a look at this Rashi. It's very, very difficult. Why is it together? Why is it together? What does one have to do with the other? Answers Rashi from the Gemara. So much Mishmirat Shabbos L'mor Re'av. You know why it's mentioned together. Shmirat Shabbos. And fearing the father, Loimar, to tell you, Afal Pishis Artichon Moy Re'av, even though you're obligated to fearing your father, in Yoima Lechot Chalit Shabbos, if he tells you, I want you to be Mechal Shabbos, Al Tishma Loi. Right? Yes, makes sense. Al Tishma Loi. He tells you, transgress the Shabbos, and now it's a choice. Should I listen to him? Should I listen to God? Says the Torah, you listen to God. Now, listen carefully. When he tells you, right, I want you to be Mechal Shabbos for me, right? That is a fulfillment of what, if you listen to him. Covet. Not moral. Dear? also called the first Tishmor should be next to Kibud Avohim, not next to Moiro. Moiro, as the Rambam explained, that's all from the Gemara, is all about negative things. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do something else, right? Don't sit in his chair. Where can there be a contradiction between Moro and Shmira Shabbos? Do you hear the problem? As on the surface, what Rashi is telling you is a din of Kovin, not a din of Moro. All right. Okay. I saw somewhere. Okay, your case is also good. Like he tells you, like you can, for instance, what about if he said one of the things that is within the category of Mora is, I'll read to you again. Loi shoyser et dvorov, veloi machriya et dvorov, which means if he says, well, I don't really know, and you say yes, but I know. That's called the hachriyah dvor. You're not allowed to do it. Right? What about if he says, it's interesting, that's why it's Shabbos. Shabbos is one of those mitzvahs that the Torah tells you clearly what is the purpose of that of Shabbos. What is the purpose of Shabbos? Specifically, what is the purpose of Lishmor es Shabbos? V'shomro bnei Yisrael es Shabbos? Why? This is a clear case where the Torah tells you the exact meaning of a mitzvah. The purpose of Shmira Shabbos is to show that God created the world, right? So, what about if your father says to you, I mean, it's silly to keep Shabbos, right? I mean, after all, I mean, we don't really know whether God created the world or not, but this would be the case where, are you supposed to keep Shabbat? By keeping Shabbat, what you're really doing is contradicting him. Right? True? Your father said that God did not create the world, or is in doubt. Anything you do, like you say, making Kiddush, right? Anything you do is a contradiction to his belief, to what he has been saying all along. That is the case. That is the specific case in the Torah. He shall be in a Shiro, but what about if Yiro tells you to do something that goes against Shabbos, like not making kiddush? You know, to do something that goes against the Mishomot Neisrael the Shabbos, that you're not allowed to do. You know, something that contradicts his ideology. His ideology is that God did not create the world, right? The world was created by itself. And you keep Shabbos. That's a contradiction to his belief. Keep Shabbos anyway. So, in such a case, right, then it is a contradiction between Yiro and Shabbat.
In such a case, would it be best to keep Shabbat in secret if your father told you not to?
What about if it's impossible? You have to contradict it. So yes, you contradict it. When you have no choice, you have to contradict it.
So what is it? Would that be true though?
Yes, of course, you have to avoid the confrontation as much as possible.
So your father says, I don't want you to make kiddush.
Right.
You shouldn't do it without him?
Yes. Yes. Now,
isn't that showing that you're willing to weaken yourself and not, and this isn't actually worth the long way?
That depends. If he says it for instance, it bothers him, right? He's like, he doesn't want to hear it. It bothers him, right? Not because he doesn't want you to be religious.
Mm-hmm.
If he says it because he doesn't want you to be religious, then it's a different halacha.
Do it in front of him.
You have to do it in front of him.
Mm-hmm. It just makes him feel uncomfortable, so you shouldn't go out of your way,
to make him feel uncomfortable. Like you don't have to. You don't have to make him feel uncomfortable. You have to minimize.
He's trying to start something, then you do it in front of him.
Now, in Pasuk Yudalet, Loi Sekalel Cheresh, don't curse a deaf person. Velipnei Iver Lo Sitei Mishol, and in front of a blind person, you shouldn't put up stumbling blocks. Right? In Pasuk Yudalet, Now, what does it mean? I don't mean what it means literally to curse a deaf person. Obviously, this is an example. It's an example to a category of a transgression. True? other examples can you give me for cursing a dead person?
Looking her.
You're saying, in a way, it's looking her, horror. Why? Why the death?
Because they're not dead here.
Not exactly, I tell you why. You know what the real meaning of a dead person here is? A person who personally doesn't get damaged at all by your curse. It will make absolutely no difference whether you curse him or not. That is the example. For instance,
does someone have to hear a curse to be damaged by it? I mean, someone like a bracha, so why should you have to...
Oh, no, we are talking about an insult. Not klolo, the Russian, sometimes klolo means insulting him. But the Gemara brings many cases, rukililani klolo in Russian, just means insulting. That means a klolo that will damage. Something that will hurt him. So listen to this situation. This is something that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, for instance. What about if you give a Gentile a piece of meat and he asks you, is it kosher? And you think to yourself, it makes absolutely no difference for him whether it's kosher or not, right?
Why not?
Because his soul is unsensitive to kashrus.
You rather not want it in the Jewish next to name.
No, Imam Yusuf, he's going to eat it. Right? That's a case of heresy. You know, he's completely insane. It makes absolutely no difference to him. Or somebody gave an example. What about that question was asked, by the way. Somebody who ran a restaurant and he has food that someone left over. Right? And then a new customer comes and he asks, do you have any potato salad? And the only potato salad that he has is what's left over in the other person's plate. Now, that customer will never know that the salad that you're giving him is left over from the other person's plate. You know that he's saying, what you don't know won't hurt you? Right? So you say to yourself, what he doesn't know won't hurt him, I'll give it to him. The customer will be happy. I won't be throwing out food. In other words, I have a perfect rationalization for giving him leftover food.
What's different in the other case, isn't it?
What?
It's different in the other case. The person might be sick.
What? What do you mean?
The person we said before might have been sick.
Good. So a theoretical case. You know that he's healthy. I'm just telling you a theoretical case where you know for sure that there is nothing wrong. Now, the person who is eating, the customer, is definitely chayrish. Because what he doesn't know won't hurt him. It's a fact. What you don't know won't hurt you. Except, of course, like you say, what about if he was an unhealthy person, the first person. But theoretically, what he doesn't know won't hurt you. And still, the Torah tells me, don't curse a dead person, even though the dead person doesn't know, so it won't hurt him. So what is the Torah telling you? That, sure, it won't hurt him. It will hurt you. You are damaging yourself. Lo sekalel cheresh doesn't mean because the cheresh will get damaged. Because the mekalel will get damaged. You know, what it's doing to you is bad. And the second part of the process, the lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. And in front of a blind man, don't put a stumbling block. So in the simple shot, even though in the halacha it includes cases, for instance, of giving people bad advice, the straight case is, a blind person is walking in front of you, you take a stone and you put it in front of him, he falls and he breaks his head. So the Torah is telling me, don't do it. It's too simple for the Torah to mention it. Is there a difference whether you throw a stone and you break his head, or you put a stone in front of him so he can fall and break his head? The Torah wouldn't be telling you such a situation. What is the situation? The situation is the following situation. If you can think of a case, right, of a blind person, that you put a stumbling block in front of him, and he falls, he breaks his head, and he doesn't even know that he's falling and breaking his head. You can say, what can be such a case? Right? Here's a case, that's the case we were talking about before. A Jew, right, a Jew who wants to eat kosher food, right? And you say to yourself like this, I'm going to give him food that I have, which is not so kosher. What difference does it make? Will he get punished for eating my food? I'm telling him it's kosher. Right. I'm telling him it's kosher. So you're saying about food. Let's talk about something else, not food. He asks me whether, is it still Shabbos now? And I say, oh no, it's after Shabbos. He'll never know that it's really Shabbos there. He'll never know. Okay? Would he be responsible for his actions? No, a person is not responsible for his actions if he has no way of knowing that what he did was wrong. It's called an onus, not even a shoge. You know, if I have a right to rely on somebody and he tells me it's kosher and I eat it, it's not a shoge. It's an onus. I'm absolutely not responsible. I don't even have to bring a korban for it. Okay? So therefore, why shouldn't I give him, right? Or the non-kosher food or whatever. Okay, you're right, like food that is a specific metamtele kaleh. But why should I do it? Or Shabbos or whatever. Why not? He won't stop it. He'll never know the difference. What? So who cares? That's what the Torah tells you. Even though he's such a blind man that will never find out the difference, still don't do it. Why? So why not? Why not? Because even though he'll never find out, but his soul will find out. You know, somehow his soul is sensitive whether it's kosher food or not kosher food, or if it's Shabbos or not Shabbos. Somehow his soul is suffering. That he won't have to pay any price for it, that he won't be punished for it, that's a fact. So this is what he means, listen, either like it's a mixer. Don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person that won't even realize that he's falling and breaking his head. Right, so enough. Blind person, you can't imagine such a thing. But in spiritual things, you can imagine such a thing. Now, after that, let's get to the one more thing I want to say. A very important shot in Pasuk Yudchet, the Ohavta LeReyacha Kamoicha. Second part of the Pasuk Yudchet, the Ohavta LeReyacha Kamoicha. Now, the Amik Dobor asks like this: what is the simple shot? Kamoicha, you shall love your fellow man as you love yourself. Komocho, as you love yourself. Asks the Amik Dobor that. I mean, the fact that it's very difficult, that doesn't bother me. Because it's an ideal. Of course, you can't reach it, but it's an ideal. But an ideal can't contradict Torah, right? Komocho, on the surface, contradicts Torah. Because Torah says, according to Rabbi Akiva, that if it's a choice between you or the other person, remember the Gemara, there's only one glass of water and you're both in the desert, right? Who has priority? You. That means that you don't have to love him as yourself. So how can the Torah say the also the Reacha Komocha? You hear that makes no discussion. The Komocha is an ideal. You shall love him like you love yourself. It's not true. You have to love him a lot, but a little bit less than you love yourself. So why does it say komoicho? Okay? So the Amik Dobor says two pshatim, both very big tradition, very important. The first pshat is based on a Rambam. It's interesting how the Rambam, in a halokhe, like in an indirect way, tells you how we learn pshat in a posuk. Very interesting Rambam. This is Hilchos Aveilus, Perek Yudalet, in the 14th Perek of Hilchos Aveilus, says like this: Mitzvah Asei Shel Divrayim. From the beginning, Aleph. It's a rabbinical obligation. Levaker Choylin, to visit the sick. Ulenachem Aveilim, right, and to give consolation to the mourners, ulehotzi ameis, ulehachnik akalo, lelavoi to orfim, and to, right, ulehitzase bechol tzorechei akfuro, lefikta lakosev, etc., etc., etc. Lechimchas chosev ekalo, chelet ameach akalo vachosev. It's interesting that the Rambam says, it's all rabbinical laws. Afal tise kol mitzoy tzevu midivrayim, even though they are all rabbinical laws, Harei hen bichlal ve'ohavto ve'reyacho komoicho. Okay, which means like this: the general rule the Torah tells us, the specific the rabbi says. So when you fulfill them, you're fulfilling a Torah law. Here are the Rambam says. Listen to this carefully. Kol hadvorim, here he's saying that ve'ohavto ve'reyacho komoicho. Kol hadvorim shatoroise sheyasu oisom lecho acherim. Whatever you would like others to do to you, asei ato oison le'ochicho, the Torah of Mitzvot. So what does komoicho mean? You hear what the Rambam says to Michael? Ve'ohavto le'reyacho, love your fellow man. How? How should I love him? How should I show that love? Komoicho, whatever you would like done to yourself. So according to the Rambam, komoicho is not a description of a degree. Right? It's what you should do when I have to think. Right? What should I do to my fellow man? Ve'ohavto le'reyacho. Right? So I have to ask myself, komoicho, what would I like for myself? I would like, if I'm sick, that somebody should take care of me. So that's what I have to do to others. So according to this, says the Amek Dovor, it's no kash anymore. The komoicho doesn't mean as yourself. The komoicho means v'ohavta l'recha komoicho, like you would like others to do to you. That's all. See? But of course, if it's a choice between you and the other person, of course you come first. There's no contradiction.
Mickey, why, if you were starving in the desert, wouldn't you want him to give you water?
Sure, of course you would like him to give to you. But the Torah is not telling you that's what you should do. If you learn komoicho, the Torah is telling you the degree, then the Torah would be telling you that you have as much obligation to give him as you have to give to yourself. Here, we're just saying, what kind of thing? For instance, if he needs water, should I give him? Well, if I would need water, would I like him to give me? Sure, of course. But that doesn't tell you the degree. It tells you what kind of thing. Right? Okay. That's one shot that the Amek Dovor says. According to the Rambam, it answers the question. Then he brings down another shot that he quotes from a Yerushalmi. Very interesting shot that he quotes from a Yerushalmi. You know, in the Yerushalmi says like this, Ve'ohavto le'reyacho, you shall love your fellow man. Komoicho, says the Yerushalmi, that komoicho means that you have to think like this. It's a reason why you should love him. If your right hand, the Yerushalmi learns the whole pasuk together. Take a look in pasuk you catch from the beginning. Don't take revenge, right? And don't keep the revenge in your heart, lo sikom. Why? Because they all have to the reacho komoicho, says the Yerushalmi. Why? If you take revenge, right? It's like, says the Yerushalmi, if your right hand cut your left hand will take a knife and cut your right hand, right? That won't make any sense. Why won't it make any sense? Because both your right hand and your left hand are both parts of yourself. They are not independent beings. Okay? Therefore, when the left hand damages the right hand, it's damaging itself too. So what good is it to damage the right hand? You are never taking revenge. You are always damaging yourself. Says the Yerushalmi. Where does he say that in the pasuk? Komoicho, he is like you. Ve'ohavto le'reyacho. Why? Because he's komoicho, he's like you, so therefore you are going to take revenge, you are damaging yourself. That's how the Yerushalmi learned pshat in the pasuk. Lo sikoi, don't take revenge. Lo sitor, don't keep the feeling of revenge in your heart. Why? Because ve'ohavto le'reyacho. You have to love your fellow man komoicho, because he is like you. If you damage him, you damage yourself. And then the Yerushalmi goes on. Vezeh klal godol b'Torah, and that is a big rule in the Torah, says Rabbi Akivet. According to Yerushalmi, what does it mean? That's a big rule in the Torah. Whenever we find an obligation towards our fellow man, we don't have to look at it as a real obligation towards our fellow man. It's an obligation towards ourselves. It's komoicho. Okay? So according to this, Yerushalmi says the Amek Dovor.
So the big rule,
the komoicho. According to the Yerushalmi, it's not that the ohavto le'reyacho is the big rule, right? It's the komoicho that's the big rule. What does the komoicho tell you? The most important rule in the Torah. We can't look at our fellow Jews and say, I am I and you are you. No. Komoicho, you are him. It's your right hand and your left hand. If you damage him, you're damaging yourself. Zeklal godol b'Torah. Right? And by the way, that answers the question. You know, there are so many commentaries who talk about the statement of Rabbi Akiva, Ve'ohavto le'reyacho komoicho, zeklal godol b'Torah. Why is it klal godol b'Torah? So many other laws. According to the Rishonim, it's the komoicho that's klal godol b'Torah. that the klal is that whenever you have an obligation to do something to your fellow man, you are really helping yourself. When the Torah tells you don't damage your fellow man, you are damaging yourself. The klal goes with the Torah. That's how the Yerushalmi learns.
So how the Yerushalmi learn about...
I don't remember. I don't ever written down. But he brings it down. He says that I'm making over on this spot.
So how the Yerushalmi learn about the case in the desert with the water?
It's not a contradiction, by the way. It's not a contradiction, because here it's a choice between the right hand and your left hand. One of them has to be lost. So if you happen to be the right hand, right, even though of course it's going to hurt you losing it, the left hand, right, but your obligation is towards your right hand. I mean, it's no contradiction, right? But your attitude always has to be the awareness that when you damage the other person, you damage yourself, right? And of course, it fits perfectly, according to Rishami, why it says it's b'nei amecho. That's only shaya by Klal Yisrael. Right? It's not shaya by a goy. By a goy, there are other rules. This rule of the konoichot can exist by a goy. Right? That answers the other question also. Everybody asks on Hillel, when the goy came to Hillel and asked him to say kol atero kula regalachas, Hillel told him, v'achol l'reacho konoicho, but he didn't quote the pasuk. He said it, whatever you don't want others to do to you, don't do to others. But he didn't say v'achol l'reacho konoicho. Why didn't he quote it? But so simple pshat is because of the komoicho is not chaya by a goy. By a goy is not the komoicho, is the idea that we are all one. That's not chaya by a goy. By a goy is only chaya, the idea of be practical, don't do to others what you don't want others to do to you. In the Torah, it's not because of practical reasons. The Torah is saying that we are to the reacho because it's komoicho. It's a new insight that has nothing to do with what Hillel told the Gentile. The Hillel told the Gentile that don't do to others what you don't want others to do to you. It's a practical reason. The Torah is giving you a much deeper reason. Komoicho, we are all one. Okay.